The stories just went on and on. And I was blessed with a thought of freedom in Christ in the devotions. I want to say thank you for sharing that. We don't realize the freedom we have. I don't think we fully grasp the freedom we have. When you look at the world, they're in bondage. I have a gentleman working for me who struggles with addiction, and he is in bondage. He would like to not suffer the effects of addiction, but he cannot get himself free of it. He's in bondage. And all the while, I can experience the peace in my heart that comes only from knowing that I'm doing what God has called me to do. I'm where He wants me to be. That doesn't in any way mean perfection, but I am serving God. And he wakes up, he struggles with guilt every day because he's doing what he knows God doesn't want him to be doing. Turn with me to Matthew 5. I was also impressed with a thought in our Sunday school lesson. The question that really rings in my mind is, we were talking about hearing the voice of the Spirit. What are the things that we might do that make the Spirit less effective in our lives? Because the Bible tells us we can quench the Spirit. I think today, many times we miss the blessing that God has for us because we have our preconceived ideas. Just like the Jewish people did when they were struggling with Christ, they had their ideas of who Christ was supposed to be, and it did not fit their mold. It did not fit their ideas. Anyway, I need to zero in more on the message. The title this morning is The Blessed Man. Fill in the blessed woman. Make it applicable to you. An introduction. I raise the question, is this man blessed? And I'm going to back up just a little bit further. I'm sure all of us have either heard or said at one point in time in our lives, I have been blessed by God. Tell me, what context was that said in? What context is that most often said in? While you're thinking about that a little bit, I have some questions. Is the man blessed that has worked hard and has a business that has him well off financially? Is a man blessed when he did his best in the workplace and got promoted to supervisor? Or how about the individual that has been under Christian teaching from his youth? And there's just a lot of church programs. He can pick one. There's many at his disposal. He ultimately decides which one to join because there's so many different things he can do. Is a person blessed if they're in an established church in affluent America that is well respected in conservative circles? Is that blessing? Is an individual blessed if he can freely share Christian literature on street corners and receive relatively little mockery? Is that blessing? How about the individual that is gifted and charming? He has lots of friends flocking around him. Is that blessing? There's a story in a devotional book that we read some time ago. It's actually a story from the authors of Voice of the Martyrs, a newspaper, a newsletter that circulates profiling Christians in persecuted countries. And it tells a story of working in concentration camps. Just being beat for any little thing. Being pushed beyond the point of physical exhaustion. And being held accountable for anything they couldn't do under those conditions. The story, most of it is given from the perspective of the wife, Sabina. And she talks about people that came to her in the concentration camp under cover of night because they wouldn't dare to be seen with her, that ask her, "What is it that you have that makes you take life in stride? What is it that keeps you collected? What is it?" And so Sabina would go on to tell them about the blessing that she had of Christ in her life and the difference that he made after coming into her life, because it wasn't always that way. Now we're going to look a little closer at Scripture and see what Jesus says is blessing. So don't forget those questions. Let's hold them up in light of the Scriptures of what Jesus says is blessing. So Matthew 5, a very familiar passage. In fact, we give it its own name, the Beatitudes, part of the Sermon on the Mount. A passage I think we're quite familiar with. And yet I wonder if we'd really study it out, would we like this passage? Let's read it now. Matthew 5, I'm going to read the first 12 verses at this time. "And seeing the multitudes, he," that's Jesus, "went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Okay, so we're going to look at qualities of the blessed. And the first one Jesus starts out with is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." I would like to read that from the account in Luke. "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Poor in spirit, we would like to think of as humility, meekness, some things like that. But if we put it in the context of Luke, he's saying, blessed are you who are happy to be poor or aspire to be poor. If we put that in the context of when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he said, "How hardly shall a man that has riches enter the kingdom of heaven?" Matthew 25, when we stand before the judgment scene, stand in the judgment scene before God. In summary, he says, blessed are you. The reward is for you who have paid attention to the poor, who have helped the poor as a way of life. Qualities of the blessed: to have a spirit that is okay with being poor. The next one we see is mourning. Verse 4. Blessed are the mourning. We don't think of the person that's mourning the loss of a loved one as being the one that's experiencing the epitome of blessing. But he says, blessed are the ones that are mourning. Then he goes on to say, blessed are the meek. So who's the meek person? Isn't he that person that somebody can just tear into, verbally tear into, or however it is? They just stand up and take it. Jesus says that person is blessed. He is the one that is receiving the blessing. He goes on to say in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, men, we don't like that gnawing feeling in our stomach in a physical sense. But Jesus says here, those that have that in a spiritual sense are the blessed ones. Those that just desire more. They want to hear more of God's word. Next of all, he says, blessed are the merciful. Again, mercy normally means, if you're extending mercy, it normally means that somebody has done something against you. Somebody has shortchanged you in some way, and you extend mercy. That person is blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart. What's in your heart? It doesn't say blessed are the ones that can hold to the church standard. It says blessed are the pure in heart. I'm not minimizing a church standard. But God says blessing will come to the one that is pure in heart. The one whose heart is clean. Whose heart desire is after God. Kind of builds on the idea of hunger for righteousness. Next of all, we have blessed are the peacemakers. So now not only does this blessed man have to accept nasty things against himself, but this blessed man is also stepping into others' problems to try to bring peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, that's not an easy job, to step into somebody else's conflict and to try to bring peace between two other parties. Blessed are they which are persecuted. So from this verse, is the Christian church in China the blessed church? Or the Christian church in the U.S.? He says here it's the one that's persecuted that really has the blessing. We find it pretty easy to pray that we would continue to experience the peace, the relative civil peace that we have in this country. And I believe the scriptures actually tell us to do that. But how about if God says no to that and brings persecution? Because he wants to bless us. Could we accept that just as well? Blessed are you when you're reviled. So we're talking about people that are just utterly against you verbally, just digging out all the dirty wash they can against you, and probably half of it not true. It says here, they say it against you falsely. Blessed are you when you take that for my sake. It's not talking about an incident where people are saying things against us because we did something that we shouldn't have done. It's talking about when people are irritated because the works that we do, the things that we do, the life that we live, brings them under conviction. Okay, so let's relook the measure of blessed. Who is this blessed person? I'm going to propose that the blessed person looks a little more like this. He struggles financially. He turned down promotions so that he could spend more time maybe with his family or in church work or whatever it is, or reaching out to his neighbors. And he really doesn't appear to be much of a manager because his financial world is not very strong. But listen to this verse out of Matthew 19, verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. That doesn't sound very much like realization of the American dream. He says, take the things that you do have and sell them and give to the poor and come follow me. You know, there's a conversation with a brother. I mean, this is could be decades ago, but it still rings in my mind. A brother I love and have a lot of appreciation for. But his comment was, I do try to better myself financially. And it's been ringing in my mind ever since. The reality is, I hope to be better off financially one day too. But where does that thought process come from? It's not what we see here in Matthew 19. It's not what we see here in Matthew 5. He says, in essence, if you sum this up, he says the kingdom of heaven is grown by those who just give up everything they have for God. That's not the way we like to look at it. It's much easier to look at it from the standpoint that the kingdom of heaven needs financial resources too. But he says the one that gives it up and follows Jesus is going to be the one that's blessed. Okay, relooking the measure of blessed. I have some friends that will just go down the list and say, I lost my dad 3 years ago. I lost my sister a year ago. Lost a cousin in between. And you can just tell the sting of death is so close. The pain is so real. They're still fighting that pain. But doesn't Jesus say that the one that's mourning is the one that's blessed? The individual that has that loss is the one that's blessed. Relooking the measure of blessed. People are nasty with him, but he lets thoughtless accusations roll off the water, roll off like water rolls off a duck's back. You don't think of that as being blessed. And I have to think of Moses whenever Korah, Dathan, and Abiram came against him. They had a lot of nasty things to say about Moses. They put him through some real trials. But if you watch the outcome, really, who were the ones that were blessed? It was not Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They received quick judgment from God. How about the individual that's a novice Christian, keeps falling, but he keeps seeking for victory over temptation? Is this individual blessed? I think if they keep getting up and claiming the grace of God and going on in the strength of God, he is. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. How about the individual that can't seem to get anything done that he wants to get done because he's always being interrupted by needs around him? Either people coming to him or needs he sees. Maybe he's the individual that drives down the road to an appointment and sees somebody with a flat tire, he has to stop and help. Is that individual blessed? It may well be this person that when you look at them, nothing in particular stands out about them. They're not financially adept. They don't seem to be really gifted. They're not charming. Except one thing does stand out. That person's a Christian. I'm going to propose that that is the individual that is blessed. How about the individual that when there's a brotherhood spat, he's in the middle trying to bring about peace? We already talked about how hard a job that is, how grueling that is, and how relentless that is, because many times you're not in favor with either side. How about the person that is part of an underground church in China and always has to be on the sly? Is that person blessed? How about the person that willingly witnesses to the people who openly confront him, but when spit on, he keeps on witnessing? Is that person blessed? Rewards of the blessed. Jesus doesn't go down through a negative list like this without talking about the rewards for blessing. And the first one, he says to the poor, you have the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty profound. If we're willing to be poor, have the kingdom of heaven. Romans 8:17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. It's a reward of the blessed man, woman, is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13 has a number of verses that relate there. I don't think we're going to take the time to turn to them. Another reward of the blessed is comfort. And we see that in verse 4. The mourning shall be comforted. Listen to this from Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So the blessed individual is the one that knows comfort from the Scriptures. And you know, we most often cling to that when life is not comfortable. If you were to ask me, about the hardest things that I faced in life, my mind goes right to an era of time. That was probably some of the hardest things I faced in life. It goes right to an era of time that I don't want to live through again. And yet, I can't help but look back at that era of time and say, God really used that to form my life. God really used that to shape me, to mold me. So the mourning, the trying times, ended up being the blessed times. The next reward of the blessed is being filled. You know, if we have a hunger and thirst for the Word of God, God promises to fill that. Matthew 7, 7 and 8 says it this way, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. The blessed person is a person that is filled. Is a person that is filled with the Word of God. Next thing I see here, a reward of the blessed, is mercy. When you extend mercy, many times you will receive mercy as well from humanity. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 7. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Do you need mercy? If you believe these verses are accurate, you and I need mercy. It says we all walked in disobedience. And because of the mercy of God, we are made alive with Christ. You need mercy. I need mercy. Next thing I see is they shall see God. Brothers and sisters, What a blessing that will be to see God face to face. Scripture tells us we can see through a glass darkly. We're experiencing just the tip of the iceberg in our fellowship with God. But one day we will see him face to face. And the verses we just read say, in the ages to come, in all of that time period when we're with God in heaven, he's going to be showing us the exceeding riches of his grace. Do you know the grace of God today? What's it going to be like to be exploring his grace for all eternity? Next thing I see in Matthew 5, rewards of the blessed, is they are the children of God. Galatians 3 tells us if we're children, we're then heirs, and if we're heirs, we're joint heirs with Christ. Imagine that. We were talking this morning about the cross and how Christ went to the cross. He gave everything for us. And then he ascended up to the right hand of God. But we are heirs with Christ. When inheritance is divided, we're going to be partakers with Christ. Then it tells us again, a reward of the blessed is the kingdom of heaven. You know, the kingdom of heaven was a subject that was precious to the heart of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven, as Jesus walked this earth, he said, he is the king of the kingdom of heaven. And he was the one leading his followers, teaching his disciples. When he left, he said he's sending his spirit so that his people can continue to grow the kingdom of heaven. So wherever you see the Spirit of God today, you see the kingdom of heaven. And one day I believe that we will experience that kingdom again in a physical way. The kingdom of heaven. He talks about a great reward in heaven. Revelation 3:21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, 20 and 21, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. We'll sit down to supper together with Christ. And it says the reward will be great. Jesus talks about mansions in John 14. Revelation talks about streets of pure gold. Gold as clear as crystal. You know, if there was gold mixed into these windows here, they would not be clear. Just the way the paint makes them not clear. But in heaven, we can have precious metals, and it's not going to obscure. It's going to be clear. Transparent. I want to look very briefly at the purpose of the blessed. For what purpose is God giving us blessings? He doesn't leave us guessing. If we go back to Matthew 5 and read the next two verses, he says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost a savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. I'm going to read a couple more verses. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus follows up the Beatitudes by saying, be a light. Be salt. Be individuals that will help the kingdom of God to spread. Be individuals that are on display, that the world can see, that they can see Christ in your life. Be individuals that unashamedly identify with Jesus. Be individuals that are an attraction to a world that is lost, a world that is mourning, a world that is suffering, a world that is seeking answers in the wrong place. He says, be on display for them so they can see the light of Christ. So they can see Let me put it this way. You know, as I look at people in the Bronx, and anywhere you go, I'm sure you find neighbors that are the same way. It's easy to say they're just rejecting it. But you know what? Time and again, I have found that when you can sit down with somebody and lay out to them the course out of their mess, if you want to call it that, the course out of their problems, they will think about it. And if they're really at the point of wanting something different, they will follow it. That's the kind of a light that God is asking us to be. That's what Jesus meant when he said, be the light of the world. Be an answer for people. Bring them to Jesus. I want to leave you with this question this morning. Are you blessed? Let's kneel for prayer.